We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll asking you, if the Republican National Convention is moved, would you want it to come to New Orleans? It is set for North Carolina. There's the Democratic governor there. The president is wondering what the policies will be in terms of social distancing, etc. at that time. So he is rumbling about moving it, and we're asking you, would you want it to come to New Orleans? Two-thirds about are saying yes, a third saying no. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us, our friend, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tony.
And we are here, as I said, to answer questions, no matter how many times it's asked, because not everybody hears everything at the same time. And you know, I say a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, but when you're talking, Dr. Fred, about antigen shift, antigen drift, hemagglutinin or neuraminidase, it's hard to condense that into a simple message. And I think as you try, part of the problem here, correct me if I'm wrong, might be you scientists you need to communicate it in a simple way so we can understand it, we who are not microbiologists or infectious disease specialists. And as a result, I think from that simplification, so we can understand it, we draw conclusions about simplistic solutions that just will not work. Could that be part of the issue here?
I think so. I think trying to make a plausible explanation for what's going on in the midst of a lot of uncertainty that is present for scientists as well as others always makes it challenging. And I think we found this to be a very humbling experience to date in terms of what we found out and what we still don't know yet about this virus, including how long there is immunity. If one's already been infected, can somebody be reinfected? What drugs are actually going to prove to be effective? When will be a vaccine be available? There's just so many questions, many of which unfortunately don't have answers yet.
All right, let me get to some of the questions here. You can text them in 87870. I just had my physical. My doctor said that the coronavirus is not an airborne virus. After 3 feet, any droplets will drop to the floor. That's why we stay 6 feet apart. Is this totally accurate?
It is, in the sense that this is felt to be a respiratory droplet infection. We recommend 6 feet, but you may have seen recently some evidence to show that sneezing perhaps can shoot those respiratory droplets even beyond 6 feet. So 6 feet is safe. Most of the droplets are going to fall within 3 feet of the individual who's coughing or sneezing, but some may not. And so I would recommend at least 6 feet when you leave your home between individuals. And again, wear a mask. The mask will afford protection to others. In other words, if you are one of those asymptomatic individuals who's infected, if you cough or sneeze, you're going to have a decreased risk of infecting other people. And for that reason, the physical distancing and the masking is really the most important. But at least 6 feet is what's recommended, because there are some droplets that can go further, although the viewer is correct to say that most will drop within 3 feet.
Text comes in here. I've tested positive for the COVID-19 antibodies. Can I still spread the virus? COVID antibody positive. I'm thinking about donating blood. We had the blood center on yesterday. They desperately need blood, but I'm concerned about spreading the virus. Talk about that, if you will, doctor.
Yeah, if you've had the infection, we've talked about this, that you're probably immune. We don't know for how long. The antibodies being present, if the tests were all validated, is helpful information. The problem with the serology or antibody tests is that they're very variable. They've not all been validated. There's always the risk for a false positive, and the last thing we would want to do is tell somebody that they're positive and immune and don't have to worry that they'll get infected again and have them get infected because of the false positivity that sometimes is seen with the test. So I think here the key is if you've been infected, you have a documented infection with one of the molecular tests, and then you get a serology later, that's a serology test, which is what tests for the antibodies, that's positive, that you're probably immune. We just don't know for how long. Will it be a month? Will it be a year? Will it be a couple of years? That's something we just don't know. And we don't know at what level the antibodies are protective. And so at this point, those tests that we talk about, the antibody tests, really hard to know what to do with them on an individual basis. I think they can give us some idea of how much spread there is in a community if you check the antibodies over a large percentage or a significant percentage of the population. But on an individual basis, hard to know what to make of them, particularly because the presence of the antibodies themselves doesn't tell us whether that person is immune and cannot be reinfected.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back if you have any questions about COVID-19 or coronavirus. Text them to 87870. And I'll pass them along to Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Next up, please ask Dr. Fred if you can transfer the virus through sweat on a gym machine. Good question. We'll get you an answer when we come back. 7:21, it's time for traffic now on WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Fred Lopez, as we normally do at this time, a professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. And Dr. Fred, I think you'll agree that we'll answer as many questions as many times as we have to try to pass the information along.
Absolutely.
So before we went to break, somebody texted in about, they said, can you transfer, but I'm going to change the phrasing. Can the virus be transferred through sweat on a gym machine, either given it or receiving it? Do we have research on that or information?
Yeah, there's no real evidence that the COVID-19 virus can be spread through sweat. But, it could be transmitted in other ways in a gym setting through respiratory droplets that pass from person to person, or maybe droplets that land on surfaces that multiple people will go on to touch, any type of gym equipment, for example. So in that setting, if you're going to find yourself in the gym, washing your hands frequently, sanitizing the equipment, and practicing social distancing is going to be really important. But sweat itself, no evidence to suggest that the virus can be spread in that way. But again, it's those frequently touched surfaces in any area that may pose a risk if someone were to touch a surface that's contaminated with the virus from somebody who just touched it after sneezing into their hand, for example, or coughed on it and the virus landed there and was contaminating the surface.
And keep your hands out of your face.
Absolutely. We know that that's another way we can create a transmission cycle. Good point.
I'm sorry, doctor. That's my line of defense. That's the wall right there. I figure if I wash my hands, wear the mask, keep my hands out of my face, then I'm doing everything I can. Do we know anything about the long-term effects of COVID-19 on people who recover and lasting damage to lungs in the future if you get better? I know when I was a kid, I had pneumonia along these lines, and my mom told me I would always have, I don't know if it's true or not, but respiratory issues, because once you have something like that, it weakens the lungs forever, leaving me out of it. What about COVID-19?
Well, it's possible that people will recover completely after COVID-19, particularly those who have mild illness, and particularly for those who have no symptoms whatsoever. But it's also likely that the complications long-term are going to be seen in people who have severe complications of COVID-19 resulting in the need, for example, for ventilation. And so a percentage of people will be left with some longer-term effects, particularly those, again, who had severe, maybe even acute respiratory distress syndrome or some of the other complications in the lungs, which oftentimes leave people requiring ventilation and other life support.
In terms of what we saw, I'm afraid that what people are going to repeat what they see and what they saw in the Ozarks, I guess, Lake of the Ozarks, with the pools and other beaches along the way. At what point would we begin to get feedback in terms of if this behavior is causing a spike, a second wave, what have you? Is it going to be like 2 weeks removed, or I guess it goes to testing, symptoms? Explain all that to us, doctor, if you can, in 90 seconds.
Yeah, no, excellent point. I think it's what everybody's waiting to find out. And remember, what we see today in the data when it's released at noon will reflect several weeks ago what was going on at the time. So what happened over this weekend will not reflect for several weeks in the data. Remember that the time of the incubation of the infection is up to 2 weeks. Then people become symptomatic, maybe a few more days before they're diagnosed, and then if they develop severe complications before they're hospitalized. So the data is going to lag behind by several weeks. What happened this weekend, we won't know its true effects in terms of those types of data for several weeks.
Thank you, doctor. I appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Next half hour, we'll check in with Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng, find out about the Memorial Day weekend there, state of businesses in phase one, etc. Right now, we pause for WWL First News, and for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.